Praise the Lord. Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Okay, folks, I love you, but the coat's coming off. I'm dying. I must be feeling better. I don't have a fever. No, it's not that. I heard that. Kathy, how come you're turning red? I heard what you said. All right, Luke chapter 11, and we're going to read the first four verses. We'll read them responsively. I'll read verse 1, you join me on verse 2, and join me on verse 4. I'll read the others. Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And let's pray. Father, I need you this morning. Lord, in the next 35, 40 minutes or so, would you allow me to preach with the freedom of the Holy Spirit speaking through me? Lord, not some weird flop on the floor and the lights flip and flash, but Holy Spirit power and Holy Spirit urgency. Lord, I believe one of the most important truths outside of salvation is what I'll give today. Help us, please, in Jesus' name, amen. If you'll look at me, I want to teach you something here, and then I'll get into the preaching. Here in Luke chapter 11, Jesus, the Bible says, was praying, and when he got done praying, his disciples came to him. And then listen to this very carefully. He said, Lord, teach us to pray. I want you to notice something. He didn't say, teach us a prayer. He said, teach us how to pray. Can I tell you something? The disciples wanted to learn how to get God to answer their prayer. Right. You know, when Jesus asked God for something, he got it. How'd you like to know that when you prayed, God heard you and God would answer? I know I do. I want to know that. There are times I'm wondering if he's listening. There's times I'm wondering, did my prayer reach the ceiling even? But we have to understand, sometimes the answer to prayer is no. Sometimes it's not right now. We have to understand, though, that Jesus got answers to prayer, and the disciples wanted to be able to get a hold of God just like Jesus did. Now, you have to understand something. Jesus was God in the flesh. That's right. He was a man just like you and I, except he had no sin. He lived the life we should have lived without sin. You realize that Jesus lived the life we all could have lived had we not sinned? But I want you to notice something. Jesus answers without hesitation. And he says, when you pray, say this. Now, I want you to understand something. He didn't teach them a prayer. I'm not going to... I want you to listen. This is not a prayer that we're supposed to vainly repeat. It was a way that Jesus taught them an outline with which to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven. In other words, we ought to take time to worship God as we pray and say, thank you for being our Father. You know, my dad sits over here. If I needed something from my dad, and I just busted through the house and said, hey, Dad, give me this, it's not going to go real well, is it? But if I go over and say, hey, Pop, how's it going? How's things? What you need? Can I help you? And we talk for a while, and then I say, Dad, could you help me with? No problem. Now my wife can barge in and say, Dad, will you do this for me? And he'll do anything. All right? She has that wrapped around right there, all right? We proved that this week. But anyway, now wait a minute. Jesus answered, and notice he didn't say, I'm going to teach you a prayer, but he taught them an outline. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. In other words, look how great God is. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. God, I need you to do what you want to do in my life today. And it's an outline by which we pray. It's an easy way for us to remember how to pray and an outline in which to pray with. But, by the way, we have to be careful becoming ritualistic and just, the Bible talks about vain words being repeated over and over and over and over and over and over again. I don't care how many times you say Hail Mary, Mary can't answer your prayers, God does.
Amen.
Prayer is not rubbing the bottle and the genie pops out and gives you whatever you want either. It's not designed to be that way. Prayer is talking to God and letting him talk to you through the Word of God and answering after you've done what the Word of God says in ways you could not answer. That's what prayer is. Today, I want to take one little point of this prayer, this outline of prayer, and I want to teach you something that'll transform your life. Today, I want you to look at verse number 3. Give us day by day our daily bread. Give us day by day our daily bread. Now, everybody look at me. God wants you to live day by day. God wants you to live day by day. You see, we have this idea. And by the way, I think we ought to have a plan. But how many of you have ever planned something that didn't work out quite like you planned? How many of you ever had something that went exactly the way you planned? Nobody. Because it doesn't work out that way. In other words, you have to modify as you go. I preached this just a couple weeks ago. Hollywood is real good about doing this because of the influence of denominationalism and other things. God did not make us a bunch of mind-numb robots, pre-program us, when we're popped out of our mama's bellies, that we just started doing like a bunch of minions, whatever God pre-planned, and everything's working exactly the way God wanted. I hate to disappoint you. That's wrong. God gave us a free will to choose. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants everybody to get saved, but not everybody's going to get saved because they choose not to. There are things that happen in our lives God did not want to happen, but because we're sinners, it happened. And because somebody else is a sinner and it crossed over into our territory, it happened to us and to others. So I don't believe God pre-programmed everybody's life to happen exactly the way it's happening. You say, why is that? Because God gave man the choice, and God chose the way of Satan and the way of pride and the way of sin.
That's right.
And the struggle we face in life is over that. Now, that's a different sermon. We want to manufacture spirituality and living by faith. Let me say that again. We want to manufacture it. We want to say, God, I'm in your will because I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm doing this, and I need you to fill in and do what I'm not doing. Wrong answer. We are to live by this book, no matter what. But may I say this, we're not to manufacture spirituality. Manufacture means you reproduce and you produce and you produce and you produce and you have a plan, you follow the set plan, and here you go. And too many of us manufacture our life and say, okay, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. By the way, I'm for having a plan in life, but I'm not so planned that I can't do what God says do when things change. This is hard to believe, but back in 1980, and shut up, you young people, at the age of 13, little twit. big twit. At the age of 13, I surrendered to preach the gospel, July 31st, 1980. That was 38 years ago. No, it was 38. Yeah, I know. You weren't born yet. Shut up. Man, does that make me feel bad? I got a young pastor. I got a young pastor friend up in a different state, and he texted me yesterday and he said, "Thank you for your faithfulness through all these decades." Oh, he twisted it in my back. Oh, my soul. But may I say this? 38 years ago, I knew God wanted me to preach. July 31st, 1980. My youth director said, "Good, you're preaching tomorrow." So on August 1st, 1980, I preached my first sermon. Lasted for 10 minutes and felt like a total failure. And I haven't been doing much better since. But I do know this. I'm preaching the same book. I believe the same things. I haven't changed anything because God didn't change and God didn't die. Now, I've learned a few things. Matter of fact, if you'd have asked me in 1980, 1981, 82, 83, I'd have told you I'd probably going to Mexico and being a missionary. I had every intention of going back to Mexico and being a missionary. I went to Bible college, still kind of had a plan for it, but wasn't sure what the Lord wanted. My pastor wisely said, "Don't put a ceiling on God. You just do what he says." I went to Bible college, graduated, married my wife the next month, put her through her last year, realized God wanted me to be an assistant pastor. And for the next 23, almost 24 years, I was an assistant pastor. Out in California, South Carolina, Indiana, this area, I was an assistant pastor. I had never planned on pastoring. I learned a long time ago, don't tell God never. I told my wife, "I promise you when we get married, we're never going to California." Our first church was in Long Beach, California. Lord have mercy. God made me eat those words over and over and over. But I always said, I don't plan on pastoring, but if that's what the Lord wants, he'll let me know. Well, 6 years ago, September, God let me know it was time to start Grace Baptist Church. And thank God for that. By the way, I'm as happy now as I've ever been, trust me. Dr. Evans used to say, "I haven't been this happy since the pigs ate my uncle." I love doing what I'm doing. But can I tell you something? 38 years ago, Brother Mike, I'd have never been able to tell you I'd end up in Martinsburg and Kearneysville, West Virginia. I didn't even know those places existed. I'd have never been able to tell you all the things that God has used my wife and I to do over the last almost 30 years of marriage. I'd have never thought one of my kids would be an assistant pastor married down in Miami, Florida. I'd never thought that one of my boys would be in the Department of Corrections as an officer, probably as an inmate, but as an officer for the Department of Corrections in Lexington. Or that my baby girl would be graduating from Bible college to be a Christian school teacher. I couldn't have told you that 38 years ago. But I'm glad I learned to live day by day. Day by day. Did I have plans? Did I have goals? Yes. But you learn to live day by day. God has a plan or a path for our life. Did you ever notice God doesn't show you the end of your life at the beginning? My preacher used to say it this way. He said, "When I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God why you have to make the biggest decisions of your life when you don't have enough sense to make them." And about time you got enough sense to make all the right decisions, you're too old to do anything. I kind of starting to understand that a little bit more. Can I tell you something? God knows we have too many sinful distractions and sinful weaknesses in our lives. He doesn't show us the end at the beginning. Now, we can plan, but those plans are going to go awry. By the way, they don't go awry because of God. They go awry because of us. Now, let me help you for a moment. God says, give us day by day. Day by day. God wants us to have a plan for life, but we can only live it one day at a time. Did you know you can't live tomorrow? You can only live today. Did you know you can't go back and live yesterday? You can only live today. In other words, we have to live day by day. Now, listen to me very carefully here. I need your minds. And for some of you, it's too weak to go very far, so keep it close. Too many people decide what they want, what they get, based on what they want. Too many people decide to get what they want based on what they want. Listen to this. We're supposed to live day by day. We should get what we want based on what we have today. Not what we want today, but what we have today. When desires go outside the ability to fulfill those desires, it causes problems. I better turn around and say this. Our credit card, borrow now, buy now, and pay later mentality is destroying our Christian lives. We want it, we go get it, and then we try to figure out how to pay for it. And it's created a depressed, oppressed nation. Our country's not willing to live day by day. Now, listen to this very carefully. I'm going to switch into something spiritual. Sin is usually the unfulfilled timing of an appetite. There is nothing wrong with a husband and a wife holding hands and kissing and being physical. God said that's the way it's supposed to be. Do it outside the bounds of marriage or before marriage, it's fulfilling an appetite outside the timing that is right. Everybody doing okay? It's wrong for people that aren't married to each other to hang all over each other. It used to be called shacking up, not just living together. Or our partners. Our significant other. Man, I'm glad I didn't have a significant other. I have a wife. Sin is literally the unfulfilled appetite created outside the bounds of when you're supposed to have it. Let me show you what I mean. That means creating appetites are not that are not supposed to be filled, or to be filled at the wrong time, will destroy you. It is very unhealthy to be swapping wives and swapping husbands, swapping partners. We wonder why we have the diseases that we have in our country and our world today. By the way, God wants us to live day by day. That means this: we should not create appetites that we cannot logically fulfill or that should not be fulfilled. I'm going to put the rubber down where the meets the road and I'm going to unscrew the peanut butter jar on the bottom shelf. Our drug-addicted society creates an appetite for something that should not be fulfilled day by day. When you start smoking marijuana, legally or illegally, you start creating appetites for things that should not be fulfilled all the time. Everybody doing okay? People start shooting heroin or coke or snorting coke or doing oxy or doing whatever. They are creating appetites for things that they cannot sustain forever. Did you ever see a meth head? Find somebody that's been doing meth for about 8 or 10 years. They start in their 20s, and by the time they're 30, they look like they're about 75 or 80. Just nasty. Say, what is that? Because they created a desire for something that could not be fulfilled or should not be fulfilled, and they live their whole life for one thing, the next fix. Alcohol is the same way. Young people, listen to me. Don't ever drink alcohol. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. God says drinking alcohol is foolish. You say, well, Jesus turned water into wine. Look it up. That word wine is the word juice, not alcohol. Jesus, God said, if you put a drunken bottle to a person's lips, you're guilty of evil, and Jesus has never been guilty of evil.
Amen.
He could not violate the word of God and be God. And when you drink alcohol, it creates an appetite for more of it. Usually you don't get drunk the first time you drink alcohol, but eventually you will. Everybody doing okay? Tobacco, same thing. Tobacco is a drug. Alcohol is a drug. I don't care if you smoke tobacco. Don't care if you chew it. Don't care if you dip it. Don't care if you sniff it. Don't care if you put it in your cheek or put it in your lip. Doesn't matter if you smoke it in a cigarette or a cigar, it's wrong. And it's creating desires for things that you can't fulfill. That's why you want to do it more and more. Socialism is the same way. Please listen to me. We live in a sick country, in a sick society. Jesus is coming real soon.
Amen.
Let me say that again. Jesus is coming real soon.
Amen.
We're getting set up for a one world government. And by the way, when it happens, we're out of here before it happens. Don't worry.
Amen.
Yeah, we're gone. But can I tell you something? Socialism, they're talking about a global economy. They now want people to have global salaries. That means they want to have guaranteed salaries. Bernie Sanders and this, who's the other dingbat lady that's a socialist up in New England area? She's an avowed socialist that just got elected. They both want to have guaranteed salaries for everybody in America. Can I tell you something? We've already had it for about 70 years. It's called welfare. Welfare is neither well nor fair.
That's right.
You don't rob from the rich and give to the poor. You give them a job.
Amen.
I'm for helping someone that's down and hard on their luck. I'm not saying that we shouldn't have some assistance, but to live off of government money and live without working is wrong.
Amen.
If a man should not work, he should not eat, is what God said. We now have political candidates that want to give everybody a guaranteed salary.
Give them all college.
Yeah. We want to give them a cell phone. We want to give them free tuition to college. Can I tell you something? College is not supposed to be for everybody to go to.
Amen. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah. You go to any contractor, you talk to that man, you talk to that man, you talk to that man. It's hard finding help these days.
Amen.
We got people that don't even know how to show up at a job.
Right.
My daughter this week, I had to laugh. She started a job when she got to college in September. This week, her boss came to her Thursday. She got to work and said, Mindy, I have to go to a meeting. I need you to run the whole shift for me. A 20-year-old girl running a shift full of people, doing her job as well as the supervisor's job. She said, need you get your work done and supervise everybody else for me. She did it for the first 3 or 4 hours. Boss came back and said, well, you're doing so good. I can do some other stuff. Just finish the shift out that way.
Amen.
I told you she's going to be running the joint. I know my daughter too well. She's got too much of my wife in. Myself in her. Now, can I tell you something? You just need people willing to show up and work.
Amen.
Jesus said we're supposed to live day by day. Now, let me help you with something. There are four things in the Bible that I want to show you today that we're supposed to do day by day. Four ways we're supposed to live day by day. Number one, according to Luke chapter 11, verse number 4, give us this day our daily bread. We're supposed to ask God for daily provision. Amen. Did you know whether you have food in the cabinet or not, you should ask God to supply your need food-wise today? I think it's very wise for a family or a couple or even an individual to bow your head and pray over your food and thank God for it.
Amen.
Not just pass the teeth over the gums, watch out stomach, here it comes. God said, give us this day our daily bread. I think we ought to, every day before we go to work or while we're at work, thank God for the health to be able to go to work to pay the bills.
Amen.
Think you ought to pray for your electric bill and your water bill and your sewer bill and your mortgage payment while you're at work, saying, God, you give me the strength so I can pay those bills. You know, I think God gives us, if we'll do that, say, God, can you show me how today how to save some money? Look, when it comes to our church finances, I squeak. I'm so tight. I look for ways. Now, I don't ask for handouts, but God just kind of seemingly just says, here you go.
Amen.
Say why? Because I beg him for us to be able to spend wisely.
Yes.
You know, we need to pray daily for our needs, whether the shelves are full or whether the shelves are empty.
Right.
Go home and open the cupboards. You got enough food to feed your family for quite a while, probably. Nobody in here looks like you're starving to death. Most of us have enough on reserve to last for a few days at least. Most of us have that reverse camel problem. Instead of the hump on the back, the hump's on the front. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And they can go a week without water. We could go a week without food. Can I tell you something? You ought to pray day by day for your needs clothing-wise. God says if you have food and raiment and a house over your head, therewith to be content.
Right.
Say, preacher, you wear suits and nice clothes. Yeah, that suit I got at Goodwill for about $10.
Amen.
I think I have two or maybe three suits out of all the suits I have that are new suits. And they were bought for me by somebody else. I just bought a suit while we were in Kentucky. I paid $9.50 for it at a Goodwill. Say why? Because I wear them hard. Why should I go out and spend $200 on it, and the one at Goodwill is going to last just as long as the brand new one? And I can buy 20 suits for what one suit would cost me. Say, preacher, I don't think you ought to do that. Then don't do it, but that's what I'm doing. I'd rather put the money somewhere else.
Amen.
You can tell. I smelled it coming from over there. I felt it. The hair on my neck was raising. You know, I think you ought to pray for God to provide clothing for your family, whether they have clothes in the closet, needs or not.
Amen. Yeah.
When's the last time you said, God, make sure that my family clothed the way they need to be and help me to provide for that? Give us the wherewithal to do that. You see, we're supposed to do it day by day. I think you ought to be able to pray for your house payment to be made and not spend so much so that you can make it.
Amen.
Can I tell you something? I love you. But I think it's kind of crazy. You raise your family in a small house. Your kids move out. And you buy a big house that you got to work 10 years longer for to pay. We got the wherewithal to... When you needed the big house, you didn't have it, and you were perfectly happy. Now you got a big house, and now you complain about you don't have the energy to get it all clean and take care of it all. We got that thing backwards.
Amen. Yeah.
Don't create appetites for things that take a lifetime to pay for.
Right.
So we should pray for our daily provision. Next, turn to Psalm 37. Let me show you something here. Psalm 37. Just remember, I love you.
Okay.
Remember, each step gets a little heavier. Psalm 37, look at verse number 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Notice the word steps. Psalm 119, you don't need to turn there because it'll take you forever to get there, but I'll read it. Verse number 133. Psalm 119, verse 133. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Can I tell you something? Steps happen one at a time.
That's right.
It's the same as day by day, step by step. God didn't say, order my path. He said, order my steps. We ought to be so yielded that we're like the tumbleweed. Where the wind blows, wherever God says go, we go.
Amen.
Now, I don't think that we ought to have no plan in life and just float like a stick down the river. But I think we ought to take life more day by day.
Amen.
We need daily guidance. We need daily provision, and we need daily guidance. We need God to guide us every day.
Amen.
Did you know America was founded on men that sought God day by day? Congress was started with every session, not once a year, but every session with prayer.
Amen.
They called Thomas Jefferson an infidel, but he read his Bible and prayed every day.
Amen.
One of the most famous pictures of all is of George Washington before he was a president, kneeling, praying for his troops. I don't care what the commies and the liberals say, America was founded as a Christian nation. One nation under God.
Amen.
And the creator, not the evolver.
That's right.
Amen. See, we need to seek God day by day. I believe in church. I think everybody ought to be in church every chance you get to be in church. I believe Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I think it's healthy. You eat three times a day. How come we can't go to church three times in a week? Now, I'm not mad at you if you don't come, but that's why we have it. It's there for to strengthen us and to get us growing and keep us closer to the Lord. But may I say this, you should be walking with God every day of your life.
Amen.
Read your Bible, pray every day.
Amen.
There's a song that we used to sing to the kids. Read your Bible, pray every day. Pray every day, pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. And you'll grow, grow, grow. And you'll grow, grow, grow. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. Forget to pray and read your Bible every day, and you'll shrink, shrink, shrink. That's what's going to happen. That's what'll happen. And we wonder why our nation is such a mess right now. We need God to help meet us, and we need to meet with God so that we do what God wants us to do. I learned a long time ago, every day, Brother Bob, I say, God, would you help me to cross the path to help somebody today that you were help if you were here? Lord, would you let me help those with whom you would help if you were walking in my shoes today? Man, that's a wonderful way to live. That means every appointment's a divine appointment. You see, today is a big part of life. And it's the only day you can live. You're not guaranteed another.
Right.
Every week of my life, I get news of somebody dying. My phone buzzed yesterday, and a pastor friend of mine, his uncle passed away. He'd been sick, and I knew about it. But Brother Chris Drilliard up in Maine, his uncle and his family's in his church, and his uncle actually in his church, and his uncle passed away yesterday. Oh, my heart was broken. He's a new pastor. Hadn't been pastoring less than a year. And I thought to myself this morning when I got up a little after 4, I was praying for him, and I said, God, this is the first time he'll hit the pulpit as a pastor, having to know he's going to bury one of his family members this week. And that's hard. Lord, would you help him? And I texted him this morning, and I told him, I said, I'm praying extra for you. I know how hard it is. I've been there over and over and over again. I said, but you can make it. He said, thanks, preacher. He said, I can't believe that you'd think about me. I said, why not? My heart's heavy for you. Every week and almost every day, I get bad news. Bob calls me about cancer with Tyson, and I could go on and on and on and on. My heart just grieves for people. I can't live tomorrow, but I can live today. I can't walk with God tomorrow yet, but I can walk with Him today. I can't pray tomorrow yet, but I can pray today. I can't read my Bible tomorrow yet, but I did read it today, and we'll keep reading it today. I don't know about you, but I'm not going to wait till tomorrow, because tomorrow never gets here.
That's right.
Tomorrow is the today that somebody worried about yesterday.
That's right.
You know the old song, tomorrow, tomorrow, there is no tomorrow. Tomorrow never comes. It always stays out there. It's just like saying, I'm going on a diet tomorrow. You know, live each day as though it were your last.
That's right.
This may sound silly to you, but I preach every sermon as though it may be my last, because I don't know when it will be. Yeah. I remember the last sermon Dr. Jack Hiles preached. Brother Mike didn't know it, but he had a heart attack in Mexico on Tuesday. Preached Tuesday evening. Stayed awake all night Tuesday night because he was afraid if he fell asleep, he would die while he was in Mexico. Got an airplane and flew back to Chicago. Came back, ran teachers and officers meeting. I was standing with him, getting ready to come out. And where we came out in the auditorium, the choir loft was raised behind us, and the door to come in was up at the top level of that. And we kind of walked down the steps to sit on the platform. I was standing in the stairwell. Brother Hiles was right behind me. He had his foot on the step right beside where I was standing. And everybody was waiting for him to say, go. He said, just a second, fellas. I said, you okay, preacher? He said, yeah, just been a long week. He'd had a heart attack the day before. He said, all right, let's go, fellas. And up we went. That was the last sermon he ever preached. He didn't know it would be his last. By the way, he preached on the King James Bible, my tongue is the pen of a ready writer. He didn't know it would be his last. I learned, preach each as though it's your last. Live each day as though it's your last. Did you know you're not guaranteed to be awake tomorrow morning? You're not guaranteed to get home today. July 6th, Brother Rich Stoltz, our dear friend and song leader. I'm going to kill you, Brother Rich. Just had our July 4th picnic. And on Friday after July 4th, I got a phone call. His wife calls and says, Brother Bush, you're not going to believe this, but Rich just fell over dead with a heart attack in the shower. 58 years old. Oh, my soul. We're not guaranteed another day. We ought to live today. We ought to ask God to guide us today. I don't know about you, but I want to do today what God wants me to do today. Number 3, we need daily strength. I don't know about you, but the older I get, the harder it is to get it all done. And I know I got a ways to go to where some of you're at. But I need daily physical strength. Yeah. At 4 o'clock this morning, I really didn't feel like getting out of bed again. But Brother Larry, I said, Lord, it's Sunday. I get to preach. I get to be with your people at your house. And I'm tired. Would you help me? I sat up on the bed. Say, I got to bed about 11 last night. The dog got up at 2:30. Bark, 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 bark. Wife had to take the dog out. Then she came back in. Then dog kept barking for about another 15 minutes. My wife tried to get it to calm down. I went out there and whacked the dog and said, shut up. It didn't woof anymore. I thought, what in the world kept that stupid dog awake through the night? And then I walked outside at 4:30, quarter to 5 this morning, and the wind's blowing. Wind got her. Gotcha. Say, did you feel bad? No, I was tired. I didn't abuse her, but she understood Dad meant business. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? I didn't feel like getting up again. Wednesday night I came to church, I was sick again. I had fever all day. I was weak. Honestly, I really didn't feel like it. But my wife will tell you, as soon as I got here, soon as we started, something happens. I said, Lord, just give me enough strength to get through tonight. I started teaching. By the time I got done, I was ready to run a marathon. Until I got outside to the car and sat down and went, ugh, I feel terrible. I got just enough strength to do what I needed to get done. That's the way you get it. You get it day by day. You got to ask God to give you the strength you need to get done today, what you need done today. I need strength to help as many people as I can today. Did you know you need emotional strength? There are days you need the strength emotionally to make it through. Hey, you sit down and deal with people's problems like I do. You tell people the bad news that I get to tell them. You try to comfort people and you try to help them through some of the mess ups they have in life and not let it affect you emotionally. I need emotional strength from the Lord. Man, I hear some of the saddest stories. I hear some of the most tragic things. Can I tell you something? When bad news comes, you need emotional strength. When difficult days come, you need emotional strength. When the harshness and the darkness of life is upon you, you need emotional strength. By the way, God says a broken heart, He will not despise. When your heart's broken, He didn't despise you. He just wants you to get some strength. You're going to need spiritual strength. Wait till you take on a spiritual attack. Folks, I live in spiritual warfare. I don't ask you to do it, but that's my job. It's kind of like in World War II, they taught the Japanese, shoot at the people with the shiny buttons. Hit the people with the brass. When you can kill the leadership, the ranks underneath them will be easier to get to. And when you're... When your name's at the top of the stationery, you get poked at a lot. When your head's the first out of the foxhole, you're going to get shot at. You know, when people disappoint you, you need spiritual strength. When your friends get crosswise with God or leave church or get angry at the preacher, you need spiritual strength. I can't imagine anybody ever getting mad at me. But they do. When somebody stumbles or falls, you need spiritual strength. You don't need to run your big fat mouth about what they did wrong. In Jesus' name, I said that. This mess of, well, they messed up and we got to get them in front of the church and tell them what bad they did. That's a bunch of baloney. That's nothing but gossip. Do you know you can't forgive their sin? Only God can. So what good does it do for you to know what their sin was?
Amen.
Well, I went to your church, and I know somebody in your church that's a sinner. Yeah, it's a whole group. Because all of us are sinners.
Amen.
Well, I know somebody in your church, and I know something about their past. Yeah, and I know something about the devil's past, and I know what his future is.
Amen.
And if they're saved, God's not going to hold their past against them. Why do you?
Amen.
I am so sick of that mess in Christianity today. Why is it that the Christian army is the only one that wants to kick their own wounded? Let's pick them up. Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. Didn't say kick them and talk about them. He said restore them.
Amen.
Then there's times you need financial strength. Did you know finances ebb and flow? Usually they flow in no ebb. Can tell you something. We ought to be asking God for financial strength. That means we need to curb our spending. We need to curb our appetites. Just because you pass those golden arches doesn't mean you have to stop and get something. Just because you pass that little orange and pink sign that says DD on it doesn't mean you have to stop.
Really?
I didn't. Seriously. Now, Mrs. Lopez has bought me 2 coffees from there in the last 2 days, but I didn't pay for it. Now, wait a minute. It's amazing. If you add up what you spend in fast food every year, you could probably make a couple house payments. It's amazing. Brother Mike, you and I have talked about this before. People that smoke, God bless you. You smoke a couple house payments a year. It's amazing. If you smoke a pack of cigarettes a day, you smoke, I think you and I calculate, between 3 and 4 house payments a year. Easily. That means you could pay your house off 10 years faster if you quit smoking. Now, I'm not mad at anybody. I'm just showing you how fast it could go. You know, why do we want to add to the financial stress by going out because we're depressed and spending more? Well, I want this, and I really want to have that. Okay, wait till you get it. Part of the fun of getting something is waiting to get it. I got to hurry, last point. So, we ought to pray for our daily needs. We ought to pray for daily guidance. We ought to pray for daily strength. And next, we need to pray for daily victory. Now, everybody look at me. I'm going to make a statement. I'm going to preach a whole sermon on this in weeks to come. We say, oh, I just want a little peace and contentment in my life. Do you know what peace is? Peace is a result of war. Peace is not the absence of war. It's the result of war. You don't sign a peace treaty before you go to war. You sign a peace treaty after you blasted the snot out of somebody. Am I right? Okay, sorry, mucus. Snot's not a good word. The green stuff in your nose. This time of the year, they're Christmas boogers. They're red and green, all right? But anyway, there went dessert. Going to get in trouble for that one. Can I tell you something? Most people don't want peace. They want tranquility. Tranquility means you do nothing. Peace means you fought and got victory. And you need victory over your enemy day by day.
Amen.
Say, who is your enemy? Your flesh. We ought to pray every day to fight the battle against ourselves. Most all of us are guilty of needing to lose a few pounds. Can I tell you where you win it? Day by day.
Amen.
Not cheating today.
Cheat tomorrow.
Yeah. Cheat tomorrow and tomorrow never comes. Amen. We wonder why the scale keeps going up. It's in direct proportion to what you poke in the pie hole. You show me what you put in, we'll show you where it's going up. You know, you need daily victory at work. I think when you go to work, you ought to have a goal of working as hard as you can each day.
Amen.
I believe the best workers in this area ought to be the people in this room.
Amen.
I think you ought to go to work every day saying, I'm going to give it everything I got.
Amen.
And a little more. God, help me to win that victory. God, help me to get done what I could not get done yesterday. I think we ought to go with a goal in mind of being the best, not just getting through.
Amen.
Not comparing yourself to all the lazy bums that are there. Well, I'm doing more than everybody else, so are you doing everything God wants you to do?
Amen.
You know, comparing yourself with the other pigs in the mud doesn't make you stand out. I think we ought to fight the daily victories with our family. You know, there are some things that you're going to have to fight for to keep your family in the right direction. You're going to have to fight as your children grow up to keep the right influences around them. You're going to have to fight to have the right influences in your own home. And you may have to have a little battle with your kids to keep them doing right. God bless you, parents. It's a good thing God gave me my kids and they're grown, because I'd probably kill somebody. I do not understand how some 11 or 12-year-old can look at their mom and dad and say, no, I'm not doing it. Mine would have said it once, but they'd have still done it. I hear parents say all the time, I just can't get my teenager to do anything. Call 1-800-MEL-BUSH. He'll tell you how to do it. Trust me. Can I tell you something? The Bible talks about a generation where the children will lead the adults. We're there. Everything's about the kid. Oh, we don't want the child to suffer anything. Good night. The Bible says it's good for a man to bear the burden in his youth.
Amen.
We got a bunch of sissy, mamby-pamby, spineless generation that we have today because they didn't win an election. They want to sit and cry and have stress rooms at colleges. They got to have coloring rooms and stress ball rooms because they're just so distraught. Yeah, we got to have, there are places of employment that have napping areas because people are too tired to work an 8-hour day. God have mercy. I'm glad my son texted me the other day and he said, Dad, I just got done working a 12-hour shift. He said, I got to go back tonight and work a double shift tomorrow. I got to put 16 hours in tomorrow. And he worked 12 hours again the next shift. 23 years old. He'll be the prison warden before the time he's 30. Say why? Because he's not afraid to work. Can I tell you something? We need to fight those battles at work. We need to fight them with our family. We need daily victories over our own flesh. May I say this? We need daily victories over evil and our enemies. Notice in Luke 11, we won't turn there, but it said, and deliver us from evil. Now, I'm going to say something here. Don't get mad at me. I think it's wrong for you to have God pray to kill or hurt somebody.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
That's wicked as the devil. Can I tell you something? We ought never pray for God to kill anybody.
Amen.
I pray daily for God to remove evil.
Amen.
I don't ask. We have fought all kinds of evil with that project. It's called Jefferson County. That's evil. I've been toe-to-toe with a lot of them. I've been nose-to-nose with some of them. And we have fought evil, and I've asked God to deliver us from evil. By the way, some of those evil people are on our side now. God delivered us and gave us help. It took war. Can I tell you something? Your enemies aren't going to give up. You shouldn't either.
Amen.
The devil doesn't give up. You shouldn't either.
Amen.
Your sin and your flesh does not give up. You shouldn't either.
Amen.
The opposition doesn't quit. I'm done. I've got to quit. God led the Jews through the wilderness with a leader named Moses. Do you know God gave them their food day by day? They had to go out and gather day by day. You know they were led by the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire day by day? Did you know that not only that, God gave them the ability and the strength day by day? Do you know their clothes never wore out and their shoes never wore out because God gave them their daily needs day by day? I think that's funny. Can you imagine some baby born when they left and he's 40 years old and got baby booties on? I think that's funny. You know, they had to fight battles day by day through the wilderness. God wants us to live day by day. Day by day. Can I tell you something? If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, get saved today.
Amen.
Jesus said today is the day of salvation.
That's right.
And you don't ever have to do it again. maybe it is. You just need to decide you're going to live day by day, every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. But would you give everybody the privacy for a moment? Who'd say, "Preacher, if I died today, I am 100% sure. I know for sure I'm going to heaven when I die." Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Who'd say, "Preacher, and I won't embarrass you, will not call you by name, won't come to you." Would you say, "Preacher, I don't know for sure I'm going to heaven, but I'd like to know that someday." Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, "Preacher, somewhere in that sermon was something I personally needed today, and that was for me." Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Scores of hands, almost every hand. In a moment, we'll stand, you put your hands down. When we stand, the piano will begin to play. When the piano begins to play, if you raised your hand, how about you either stay seated or kneel at your seat there, or come far forward here at the altar and kneel and ask God to help you with what He was talking to you about today.